You ready for the Word of God here today? I'll tell you what, God is just in this place so mighty and strong here today. Hallelujah. And that anointing is here to assist in the ministry of the Word of God. Go with me to Philippians. We're going to go over to the fourth chapter. Glory to God. As I swat a fly. Boy, this balmy weather out there, it's waking up the bugs, you know. I mean, man, it gets up to 25 degrees and the moths come out. Praise the Lord. Today I'm going to talk about how good is your thinking. And we're going to talk about the thought life and the thoughts that are in your mind and the mental arena of life. Praise God. How good is your thinking? We're going to go over to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to get over there in just a second. Wherever you are today, chances are that your thought life has brought you here. Whether good or whether bad, your thought life has brought you here. It has been a compass that has led you either into peace, or it's been a compass that has led you into the storm. I'll tell you what I see as a pastor. So many people, they struggle in their thought life. They struggle to be strong mentally. They struggle with decision making, and they make wrong decisions. And I can see so many times when they have adopted wrong thinking, and it's influencing their life, and it's bringing the wrong things into their life. You know, we have to make sure that we are very careful to think right. Yes. Because the way you think is the way you believe, and the way you believe is the way that you will live. Right. The Bible says over there in Proverbs 23, in verse 7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Yes. Right? That's right? Yeah. Amen. Notice, it is completely possible to live the life that is going on in your brain.
Yes. Absolutely.
You can live the life that you see in your imagination. Yes. Now, that can be a really good thing, because imagination can be a good thing. But how many of you know it can also be a bad thing?
Right.
Because how many of you know that the devil can plant thoughts? That emotions can stir thoughts, and it can develop negative pictures and develop a whole life that you don't want to live.
Right.
And every thought that enters into your mind is trying to seek a harvest in your life. Every thought that tries to come into your brain wants to produce after its own kind.
Yeah.
And we need to learn what to do with thoughts.
Yes. Amen.
You say, well, I don't even think about thoughts. Well, you're still using them, right? There's still thoughts going on there. And you need to understand how to take care of the mental side of your life. Amen. Because so many people, they get in trouble. You know, so many times, as I pray during the week and I'm hearing God of as far as what to minister in church service, a lot of times I get just a simple witness, and that's good enough for God. You know, but this week, I mean, I had a very authoritative voice of God speak to me about ministering along the lines of dealing with your thought life.
Right.
And how to handle it and what you do.
Yes.
Listen, because you don't have to be subject to a runaway brain.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what I mean? You do not have to be subject to that storm that's going on in your head. You don't have to be slave to it. You don't have to be slave to your emotions.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, I tell you what. I say it this way, you know, I heard some, you know, this is an old figure of speech about traveling and places you visit, you know, but I tell you what, the brain is a nice place to visit, but it is not somewhere you want to live, right? And a lot of people, they're living out of the mental arena. They're living out of their thought life. They think that every thought that comes to them belongs to them. Not every thought that comes to you belongs to you. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, he said, take no thought saying. Meaning that there's thoughts that come into your life that you don't need to take. There's thoughts. The Bible says over there in Ephesians chapter 6 that one of the weapons of the enemy is flaming arrows. Literally, satanic devices designed against us. And I believe, obviously, the Bible teaches that those flaming arrows are thoughts that just shoot through your mind.
Right.
I've said this several times. Have you ever had a thought just rip through your head and you think, my goodness, if people saw that, if they knew that that was in my head, they, you know, they'd throw me in jail or something, you know. They would just think I'm such a wicked person. And the devil, this is the devil's plan, to give you a thought and blame you for having it. Why? Because when people take ownership of the thought, it then can influence their life, right? Let's not do that. Let's learn what the Bible says about dealing with our thought life. Yeah. I see so many that are being dominated by fear, worry, and I can see they have a weak thought life, and as a result, they are tossed to and fro in this world. Yeah, it needs not to be. They're moved by the thoughts in your head. You are not moved by the thoughts in your head. You're moved by what you believe.
Yes.
The Word of God moves you.
Yes.
Not just a thought that enters your brain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Philippians 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 8. It says this. It says, be careful. This is a King James. Be careful for nothing. The word careful, maybe if you have a more modern translation of the Bible, it says anxious, fretful, do not worry or be concerned. All right? So you could read it like this. If you have the New King James, it might say, be anxious for nothing, be nervous for nothing, be scared for nothing, be worried for nothing. There is nothing worthy of your worry. Have you learned that yet? Nothing is worthy or is valuable enough to worry about. Nothing. All right? Not the economy, not your job, not your marriage, not your kids. Your kids are not worthy of your worry. That is, the holy hush came upon the crowd, because when we hear things that go against our grain, we stop, and all of a sudden the amen stop. And what I mean by that is that there's been an old-time belief that good parents worry for their children. Wrong. That's a lie. According to the Word, you be anxious for nothing. You could also put it this way, be anxious for nobody. When was the last time you thought it a good thing to be proficient in worry? Since when to be proficient? You know, people say that all good parents worry about their kids, as if being proficient in worry is going to help your children. No, being proficient in worry is not going to help your kids. Being proficient in faith, being proficient in obedience, being proficient in faithfulness is what's going to help your children. You doing what God told you to do so that you can be a channel where your power can flow and meet your children. Glory to God. Be anxious. Be fretful for nothing. Not your job, not your marriage, not the kids, not the economy, not the price of gas, not your mortgage, not your home. Nothing. So now we get God's take on worry. Never, ever, ever is it acceptable or okay with God. Well, I was worried about it. I worried about it out of good concern. No, it's never okay to worry. All right. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or power or goodness, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Thank you, Lord. God just told us what to think. You know, people say, oh, that church down there, they're brainwashing people. You're exactly right. Amen, 100%. I want to be brainwashed the right way. That's right. I want to think like God thinks. I want to think on the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are of good report. That's why we're going to get to the point here, how good is your thinking? How many of you think that you could think of a pretty good scenario in your life? How many of you think you could think up some good stuff? Some of you are like, I think so. How many of you can think of good things in your life? Well, if you can think good, you can have good. And I'm not here to talk about the power of positive thinking. I'm here to talk about the power of thinking like God. And it just happens to be positive, right? Amen. All right. Now let's go back there to verse 6 and let's dig into this stuff, right? We already got the first part of verse 6, be anxious for nothing. We get God's take on worry. Not marriage, not money, not needs. You are never to be anxious or fretful for anything, okay? And we'll show you how to do that.
Amen.
There's a way, there's a process, there's something you can do about the thoughts coming against you in your life. There's some people that they're just overcome by thoughts. They're overcome by, you know, I guess maybe, you know, you could probably relate. You've been there before where you're just being bombarded in your mind about a situation. Maybe there were some symptoms in your body. You know what I mean? All of a sudden your brain starts telling you, you've got cancer. You're going to die. You start to, you know, thoughts come to your head as your kids are going to be left, you know, without a parent. Has anyone ever been there before? You know, you're going to lose your home. What are you going to do? You know, the job, you're going to be lost. You're going to, you know, go default on loans. You're going to have your car repossessed. All of a sudden, a thought comes into your brain, and 5 minutes later, you already see yourself in the casket, in the poorhouse, and without.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have children, no doubt you'll know what it's like to be attacked in your mind, how what the devil will try to tell you what he's going to do to your children and against you and things like that. What are those? Those are attacks in the mind.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So God tells us to be fretful or anxious for nothing. So now what it says, though, in verse 6, it says, but in everything by prayer. Notice that prayer is the answer for worry, okay? Notice that prayer is opposite of worry, all right? And, of course, verse 7 tells us what the direct opposite of worry is, and that's peace, okay? It says, don't worry about anything but everything by prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer isn't thinking to God. Prayer is talking to God. So notice the answer for worry is words, God-ordained words, out of your mouth. You know, maybe, you know, you were taught like I was growing up. I just thought like you could think prayers to God. That, you know, you hear people say, I'm going to say a silent prayer. That's impossible. To say you can have a silent prayer, now it doesn't have to be loud, but it will come out of your mouth. Praying is not the same as thinking. It never was. That was religion that taught us that. That is not the Bible definition. The word prayer literally means to speak to God. All right, so notice when thoughts of worry, anxiety on your brain, something can release from your mouth that will take you in the right direction, right? All right? Prayer is simply taking the right thought, right? It's simply taking the right thought and exercising your faith out of your mouth. Amen. To take you in a direction away from fret or worry. Come on, I'm telling you, I'm helping you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Prayer is the opposite of anxiety. It's the answer. It's the correct response in everything. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. When we say, thank you, Lord, you meet all my needs. When you say that in the midst of being bombarded in your thought life about a financial need or a financial crisis, what are you doing? You're just taking the thoughts of God and you're releasing them out of your mouth against that thing that is attacking your brain. And now you're heading towards the benefit of verse 7 that says that the peace of God that passes all understanding will now guard your mind, right, and our hearts. So now you release faith and it's putting a shield or a helmet around your brain. I'll tell you what, if you don't learn to release words in the midst of wrong thoughts, come on now, you aren't going to make it.
That's right.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The Bible says over there in James chapter 5, it's called the prayer of faith. You know, sometimes people, they misunderstand what prayer is. They think that all prayer is just you alone or, you know, you kneeling down in your on your bedroom floor or wherever you like to pray. That is, of course, essential and important. But prayer is just speaking to God at any time, anywhere. You know, some people say, well, you know, if I didn't just get on my knees for an hour, then I didn't pray. Well, prayer is releasing faith out of your mouth. Yeah, when I say, thank you, Lord, all my needs will be met.
Yes.
Yep. When you're looking at a bill or you're looking at a stack of bills and it seems like you're not going to have enough to pay it all, I thank you, Lord, you meet every single need.
Yes.
What are you doing? You are answering that report in your brain.
Right.
The Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? There's the report of the world, there's the report of the circumstances, and then there is the report of the Lord.
Yes.
The report of the Lord says, my God shall supply all my needs by his riches and glory. My God, the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow of it. Yeah. Yeah, there's a report of the Lord. But notice, it's not just the thought of the Lord. It's the report of the Lord. James 5, right around the 15th and 16th verse, it talks about, it's called the prayer of faith. Speaking to God what you believe him to do. You have to tell, you have to speak to the Lord what you want him to do.
Yes. Amen.
You know that, don't you? Yes. When you're facing, you know, a pain in your body or a doctor's report that's negative or something like that, you had better, when you get the opportunity, release some words out of your mouth. Yes. And say, Father, I thank you. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. The power of God is working in my body. The anointing of God is driving out sickness and pain. He's destroying every yoke of sickness and disease in my body. What are you doing? You're releasing something that is going to guard your thought life. All right? You had better learn. There's some people that they need to turn around that storm in their brain. Their brain is just a constant storm, constant panic, constant worry, and they meddle up here, and they live up here, and they dwell up here. I tell you what, you better get out of this, and you better get into this, and you better start speaking what God says to say. You know, when the devil brings a thought to me, tells me every day, I'm going to kill one of your kids. I say, no, you won't. I said, the Bible says that the angels of God are given charge over my family lest we dash our foot against a stone. No, the Bible says over there in Isaiah 54, right around the 13th verse, it says that all my children will be taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Glory to God. Matthew 8:10, it talks about, Jesus said, and their angels, meaning the angels that belong to children, constantly behold the Father's face which is in heaven. Yeah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 4, verse 8 says, you, Lord, only make us dwell in safety. Yes. Glory to God. How about Psalm 5, 11? It says, the Lord will bless the righteous, and he will surround them with favor as with a shield. Yes. Glory to God, right? What is it right over there? Don't quote me on this chapter and verse, but right over there in Isaiah chapter. I forget the chapters, right around the first few verses of them. Is it chapter 55 or whatever? It says, the Lord is my shield and my buckler. He is my shield. He's my protector. Glory to God. And the devil's going to constantly shoot thoughts through your brain that, you know, some accident's going to happen. Something's going to, you know. And sometimes we're almost intimidated to declare boldly those scriptures. Have you ever done that before? The devil give you a thought and you say, no, the angels are given charge over me. Right? It says, so no evil befalls me, no plague near my dwelling. That's what Psalm 91 says. And then the devil comes right back to you and says, yeah, but what if it does happen? And you know, what if it does happen and your faith just looks like a lie and he's going to make you look bad? And oh, yeah, as if we should almost be intimidated to believe God for the highest and best. Have you ever been there before? I guess you are perfect. I guess you've already been to heaven already. I guess your brains are completely renewed and restored. You've never dealt with a bad thought. All right, I'm just going to go over here and preach to myself for a few minutes. Come on now. But by everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. See? That is why you hear me constantly talk about when I release faith. Thank you, Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. My God shall supply all my needs. Why? Because when you thank God, it is like you are automatically saying you believe it is already now. When you thank God, you are thanking him from the standpoint that it is present tense. Faith is always present tense. Faith is never past tense. It is not future tense. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is. It doesn't say faith was. It didn't say faith will be. It says that faith is. Glory to God. And then over there we know in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for those that come to God must believe that God is. and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Right.
It's not what God will be for me. It's what he is now to me. He is Savior now.
Yes.
He is healer now.
Right.
He is protector now. He is. Faith is always now. It's always present tense.
Yes.
Yeah. And when the Bible instructs us with everything, with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you don't thank God, you're not in present tense faith. You can tell God all day what you want. You can tell God all day what you hope will happen in your future. But until you get present tense and start saying, thank you, Lord, you are my healer.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, healing is mine.
Yes.
Say, well, you can't say that when the pain is still in your body. Oh, yes, you can. That's exactly what Jesus told us. Jesus said over there in Mark 11:23, right? We all know the scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Jesus said in verse 24, therefore, when you pray, believe that you have received it, then you will have it. Yeah. Listen. I want to make this statement, but I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm not trying to get clever. If you don't have it, you will never have it.
Right.
Get a hold of that. If you don't have it now, you will never have it.
Right. That's right. Very good.
I'm talking in terms of faith. Some of you are looking like a deer in headlights, the cow at a new gate or whatever. Listen, faith is always now. And if you don't have it now, you won't ever have it.
That's right.
Okay? Because let me explain by that. You know, when you release faith, it's thank you, I am whatever you need. All my needs are fully met.
Yes.
This bill is paid.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. The pain is, my body is healed.
That's right. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're talking present tense
yes.
terms.
Oh, yes.
And if you don't believe you got it when you speak it, then you won't have it. A lot of times the church has taught us, you know, growing up, Lord, I want this. Lord, will you do this? Lord, will you please, you know, putting it always off to the future.
No.
Hoping that God will change your situation. He's waiting for us to say, Lord, I thank you that you are my healer. I thank you this need is met. I thank you.
Yes.
See, when you use thanksgiving, it is like sealing up the deal.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is what tells God that you believe it's now.
Yes.
Because what do you say thank you for when you get something?
That's
thank you is said when you receive.
Yes.
Right? People that use the term thank you with God believe they got it now.
That's right.
That's why the Bible says with prayer, speaking to God, supplication, that means to request with thanksgiving.
Yes.
What's the last step? In receiving from God, to seal it with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you. I got it now. I believe I receive.
Yes. Right.
Whatever it is you need, right? Amen.
Amen.
This is how you deal with your thought life. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you don't have it now, you won't have it.
Right.
If you speak in future tense to God, you won't have it.
Right.
He doesn't deal. It isn't God will be.
No.
It wasn't God was. It's God is. God is. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, look at the result in verse 7. All right? So now you've been a doer of verse 6. You're anxious for nothing because when anxiety and when the wrong thoughts attack your brain, you have the prayer of faith ready to go. All right? You need to take some time to find out what thoughts, what you're going to say when those things knock on your door. What are you going to say when pain knocks on your body? What are you going to say when depression knocks on your mind? What are you going to say when there seems to be not enough to get by? You know, what are you going to say when the company starts announcing layoffs? What are you going to say? What are you going to say as our economy has gotten bleaker and bleaker? What are you going to say as, you know, the average income in America drops and the expense of everything goes up. What are you saying about those things? A lot of times people just allow those thoughts to torment them in their head. Don't you allow those thoughts to just sit there and torment you and beat you up. You better be ready to have a report from the Lord. Yeah, glory to God. That's why when you hear me quote scriptures, I'm just building that in so I know how to speak when the thoughts come against me. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have a chapter and verse. Well, guess what? That's your job at home. You say, well, you know what? People say all the time, well, I don't know how to find a scripture. You didn't learn to read? You know, and I'm not making fun of that. I'm saying, no, seriously, most people can read. I mean, they're adults. I mean, if you can read, open the Bible and get reading. What they're really saying is, Pastor, you tell me so I don't have to take the time and do it myself. I'm not going to do your homework for you. You're going to have to go home. You know, I always say the church is like the spiritual grocery store. You get the ingredients, but the cooking is up to you. You know what I mean? How many of you know, outside of when they're handing out little samples or something, but when you go to a grocery store, you're buying ingredients. You're not there to buy meals. You know what I mean? The vegetables are in cans. The meat is frozen or cold, right? You take the ingredients and you prepare them in your home. In the same way, the church is here to give you the ingredients for the word, and you have to do the cooking at home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now verse 7 tells us the result of thanking God. The result of thanking God. The result of releasing words out of your mouth when the thoughts come against your head. It says in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is a result of thanking God and speaking faith, right? People say, how long do I have to thank God until peace shows up? How do you know you have fully believed when peace shows up? How do you know you have confessed or spoken that scripture enough when peace arrives?
Amen.
When peace arrives, you're there. Because the goal isn't for your trouble to go away. Your goal is to achieve peace.
Yes.
A lot of us are seeking our troubles to go away. But I tell you what, you can have something a lot better, a lot faster. It's called peace. Peace is better than just your troubles going away. Why? Because troubles come and go. Troubles are cheap. Troubles are everywhere. This world is built around troubles. You know? Yeah, absolutely. There's troubles everywhere in this world, right? So they come and they go. Just getting the relief from my trouble is not my goal. My goal is to get into the peace of God.
Yes.
And how do I get into the peace of God? Lord, I thank you. I thank you. This is that. This, you know, speaking the word. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. And as I do, peace guards my heart and my mind.
Amen.
Or you could say it this way, it fills my heart and my mind. Yeah, people always ask, how long do I have to pray? Until you have peace. Until peace and clarity are there. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Come on now. Oh, thank you, Lord. If you aren't in peace, then you're not in faith.
That's right.
Listen, people. If you're not in peace, you're not in faith. Your heart and your mind is vulnerable until you are in peace, right? Notice it says that peace guards your heart and it guards your mind.
Yes, it does.
Wouldn't it be safe to say that peace also guards your body? Yeah, because you're a three-part nature, right? We are spirit or heart. You know, the word heart means our spirit. Spirit, soul, and body.
That's right.
Okay? Your soul is your mind and your intellect, all right?
That's right.
Your body is obvious. That's what you hauled out of bed this morning, and I'm glad you brought it with you. Amen? All right. And the Bible says that the peace of God guards your heart and your mind, and we would assume it would also guard your body.
Yes.
We know it does.
Sure.
Right? Proverbs 14:30 tells us that a sound heart is the strength of the body.
Yes. That's right.
So a lot of times people that are dealing with physical conditions, even medical science has agreed with this, that there are certain conditions that are induced by stress. And what they're saying is that person didn't have a sound heart, and their body is struggling as a result. All right? So we know that peace or soundness or peace, it guards our heart, our mind, and our body. Meaning if you are not in peace, then you are vulnerable, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Yeah, absolutely right. Think about how worry and stress and wrong thinking destroys people's lives. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah, we got to be careful. Yeah. Notice your body is vulnerable until you have reached a place of peace. Your mind is vulnerable until you've reached a place of peace. All right? Oh, my goodness. This would answer so many people's questions. I've seen it. The reports come in. If you've ever watched people that their life is surrounded by stress and strife, they never have peace in their home, you watch their life. They'll be sicker physically.
Yes.
They will be depressed mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Because they don't have the guardian of peace.
Right.
So when people say, how long do I pray? How long do I thank God until peace shows up? Because peace is the destination, not the relief of your troubles.
Amen. That's right.
Because the trouble's going to go away. It's going to go away. Even time will relieve troubles. Okay? But time can't just bring peace on itself. You have to speak. You have to have an answer out of your mouth. You are going to have to take the thought of God and speak it out your mouth so that peace will come and flood your heart, guard your mind, and guard your body. All right. I'm still in the introduction of my message. I haven't even gotten started yet. Praise the Lord. All right. And notice in verse 7, it says, peace that passes all understanding. This is going to be so refreshing. Because notice, the word understanding means your ability to figure it out in your brain. Peace of God passes your ability to figure it out.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness, I got good relief for you today. You don't have to figure it out.
Amen.
You don't have to know how it's all going to look.
Yeah.
You don't have to know how that thing's going to go or whatever. You just know that peace, right, passes the understanding. You don't know how you're going to be delivered from that situation. You don't know where your natural help's going to come from. You don't have to know. Again, peace is the destination. Glory to God. Amen. It passes understanding. My goal is to get peace on something. It doesn't have to go away before I get my peace. There's people that say, well, I'll just finally, peace will finally show up when the pain goes away. Wrong. Wrong. See, you're still got your crosshairs on the wrong target.
Right.
Your target is peace.
That's right. Amen.
Peace will then guard your heart and your mind and your body.
Right.
Okay? Amen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's an illustration just on the tip of my tongue here. I'm still trying to, put it all together. But people get they get the carriage before the horse. They think, I want to, think about it mechanically, and I'm not much of a mechanic at all, but I do have a set of wrenches and sockets and things, and I've done a few things before. I've taken apart garbage disposals. I've adjusted. I've done things like that. You can roll under your car, and you can see that the oil pan bolt there that drains your oil. You can sit there and you can stare at it all day and say, I want that bolt out of there. I want that thing to unscrew right now. And you can even take your hand and you're trying to figure it out. But what you need is the tool first before the thing is dealt with. Peace is the tool that you get first, and peace drives out the sickness and pain. Peace drives out the anxiety and depression. Peace drives out sickness and disease. Yeah. Peace will drive out temptation.
Yes. Yes. Sure.
And sin.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The number one thing that we should long for in our life with God is to have confidence before God.
Yes.
There's so many people, they don't have peace because they're not confident before the Heavenly Father. They know they have not reconciled their sins with God. And you will never know what peace is and joy is in this life until you come clean to God. Yeah. And when you do, peace will flood your heart. Yeah, when you say the right thing, peace is going to flood your mind and guard your body, right? Peace is the tool. Get the tool first before trying to accomplish the job, right? If you're going to change the oil on your car, or if you were going to put new shingles on your roof or whatever, and you had the shingles and you even had the ladder, and you get up there and you have a bare roof and a pack of shingles, you just don't just stick those shingles on there. You don't just throw them out and deal them like cards and hope they cover everything. No. You're sitting there, you say, why did I even bother getting the shingles? Why did I even bother buying the new roof if I didn't even have a hammer and nails to put it on with? Right? You need the hammer and nails first. Okay? But when you are setting your sights on just your trouble going away, you have forgot to go purchase the tool first. Right? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that's a weak illustration. And I make fun of my illustrations all the time. Jesus was simple. He talked about trees and sheep and, you know, simple things of his day. So I don't have to be intellectual about it. Praise God. All right. Peace passes understanding. Isn't that good news? You don't have to figure it out. It doesn't have to go away before you get peace. Get the peace. The peace will drive out the rest. Amen. Yeah. It doesn't have to go away before I get my peace on something. Peace is knowing. You know? I'm going to say, the happening isn't the knowing. The thing going away, the trouble being relieved, isn't the knowing. It isn't the security. Peace is the security. All right. Now, verse 8, let's go to verse 8. Now, look at this. All right, so now we're doers of verse 6 and 7. And we have guarded ourselves by making sure we're not anxious or nervous or worried about anything. Because every time an anxious thought comes to our head, boom, the prayer of faith. Thank you, Lord. And then you speak according to whatever your situation is, all right? And so now you've kept yourself from being worried and, you know, overcharged with thoughts. Now the peace of God moves in to guard you from that time forward. And then verse 8, it tells us how to maintain. If you want to maintain peace, all right? Yeah, now let's get into this. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And then it goes on to say the things that are honest and just and pure and lovely and good report and so on. Think on these things. Notice the first thing we are told to think upon. We are told to think upon that which is true. Yes. Notice he's teaching us how to handle worry thoughts. Yeah. And he says, don't think upon worry. Think about that which is true. Telling us that what we worry about is not true.
That's right.
Get a hold of this, somebody. This will refresh your mind to know that thoughts come in your brain, they're not true. All right? They might even be factual. Do you know there's a difference between facts and truth?
Yes.
The fact might be you might have pain in your body, but the truth of God's word says you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Yes. Right? The fact might be that you have no more money and you have bills coming in, but the truth is that my God shall supply all your needs. The truth is the Bible tells us that through the poverty of Jesus, we were made rich. Whether you are bankrupt or not, if you know Christ, the Bible says that he declares you fully supplied. So the fact might be the circumstance. The truth is what God said about you. Glory to God. Yeah, I know people go through things. I know that they face difficulties. They face factual troubles. We're not here to deny that pain is real and financial troubles are real. Yeah, it is real. But there's a truth that's greater. Yeah, and the Bible tells us to think on the things which are true, giving us the idea that what we worry about isn't true. Praise the Lord. The first things we're told to think about are true things. This must mean that the things that made us anxious are not true. This must mean that the thoughts that attack us all the time aren't true. When you know something is a lie, it's easier to deal with.
Amen.
When the devil says that he's going to steal your home, when you get that thought in your head, you now know by the word of God, lie. The things that worry people the most are untrue to begin with. And it refreshes me. And that's why I can move along when the devil says, I'm going to kill your kids. That's not true. That's a lie. Anything that would try to produce worry in your brain is a lie of the devil. Come on now. This will be refreshing. Because if it's a lie, it means it doesn't have to happen.
No, that's right.
And if it's a lie and it doesn't have to happen, then I don't need to dwell on it.
No, that's right.
I can just brush it off, I can move forward, and I can be done with it. I don't want to sit there and dwell on lies, because God told me to think on the things that are true. Yeah. What are the things that are true? The angel and Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around about me and delivers me. Glory to God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So, wait a minute. So now we understand that thoughts, their main goal is to tell you things that aren't true. The goal of a demonic thought is to tell you something not true. Hold your place here in Philippians chapter 4 and go just a few pages back and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me show you this. Yeah. If the thought didn't give you peace, it's not true. Those thoughts that have tormented you the most are not true. Not in the mind of God, they're not. The whole time it was a lie. And today we're revealing the lies of the devil that try to get into people's heads. The devil's telling some of you, it's going to be this way forever. This is just the way you're going to be for the rest of your life. Lie. Devil's going to tell you your kids are never coming back. Lie. Devil's going to tell you that that's just the way you are. And those temptations to do certain things, to go certain lifestyles, it's a lie. Yeah.
Amen.
See, where did someone just wake up someday and say, you know, today's going to be the day that I'm going to be an alcoholic? I think today I'm just going to start a journey of lifelong alcoholism. No, that's absurd. No, what happened? A thought entered their head to start drinking or to be in a social environment, in a place where wrong things are happening, where they'd be tempted to do that. And as their body got more used to that, they believed the lie that that would make them happy, that that would fill the void. I know what it's like. I was addicted to that stuff. I mean, I couldn't go a day without at least 6 or 12 beers. I couldn't go a weekend without drinking a case in a day. You know, that's just where I was. Right. You know, when we'd get together and party, I mean, I'd have my 24-pack for Friday, I'd have my 24-pack for Saturday, and I'd have my 24-pack for Sunday. All day. And anyway, don't need to go down that road. But what happened was, is that I believed those thoughts that was filling up my life. Yeah. I believe the thought that smoking dope would make it feel better. It's a lie. You don't have to stay that way forever. You don't have to be addicted forever. You don't have to be sad or depressed forever. You don't have to be sick forever. The condition doesn't have to last forever. Yeah. You know, maybe your marriage is in trouble right now. It doesn't have to be that way forever. If both of you would submit to the plan and will of God for your life, it'd change. It'll change. If you'd start working on you instead of working on your spouse, it would change. Well, I want Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. Well, why don't you be Mr. and Mrs. Perfect? Yeah, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at this. In verse 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And we're going to see what strongholds are. They're not, you know, there's some really interesting ideas out there about what strongholds are. And, of course, we're charismatic Pentecostal church. And but I tell you what, a lot of charismatic and Pentecostals have a wrong idea of what strongholds are. They think that it's pulling down demonic forces up there somewhere in the spirit realm. You cannot pull them down. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Look at verse 5. It tells you how to cast down or pull down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations happen? In your brain, in your mind. What does the Bible say to do with imaginations? Cast them down. Giving us the thought that the devil, the word imagination, literally here in the Greek, it means a scenario or a picture. You will see yourself committing adultery. You will see yourself in front of the computer looking at porn. You'll see yourself doing things that are wrong. You'll get a scenario or a thought will drive you towards those things. The Bible says, cast them down. And how did Philippians chapter 4, how did it say? But with all things, by speaking to God with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, cast them down. Yeah. Amen. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice that imaginations, now look at the rest of the verse, it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a wrong pattern of thinking.
Yes, it
is. It's the wrong imagination. Yes. And people are held by strongholds, wrong thinking, and patterns of thought.
Sure.
But notice it gives us some instructions here of what to do with thoughts. One, it says cast them down. Two, and hold it captive.
Yeah.
All right? Let me show you how to do that. A thought comes through your head. I'm going to kill your spouse. You're going to be alone. No. What you do, literally, you go right out, you speak right out your mouth. You have a verse locked and loaded and ready to go. You say, no, the angels of the Lord encamp around us and delivers us. No, the Bible says in Psalm 91 that he gives his angels charge over us lest we dash our foot against a stone. The Bible says that he shall only make us dwell in safety.
Yes.
I mean, have you ever had thoughts like that? Where in your mind you saw a picture of your spouse in a car accident or some kind of tragedy or something like that. What is that? That is an imagination that is not from God. And when you see that thing and those things come against you to try to produce worry, you cast them down. And you do not cast down thoughts with another thought. You don't just say, okay, I'm going to think something else. No, you take immediate action. The Bible says to deal with thoughts with words. Right? What did Jesus say? Matthew 6, 31, he says, take no thought saying, I literally say that. I say, I don't take that thought, devil.
Right.
I don't take it. I don't receive it. I cast it down in Jesus' name.
Yes.
If the walls of my office or the doors of my car could speak, they would tell you how often I am casting down thoughts.
Right.
Because I don't just carry the responsibility for just my life. I carry the responsibility of many, many lives in a ministry and so on. And many of you have responsibilities and families. Yeah. And thoughts are going to bombard you.
Oh, yeah.
You better be ready for an answer.
Amen.
Yeah. First thing you do, cast them down. Cast them down with your words. I literally use that statement at times. I cast that thought down in Jesus' name.
Right.
The second thing you do is you take it captive. What does it mean to hold something captive? Now, remember, verse 4 said the weapons of our warfare. It's using military terms.
Yes.
When an army captures a soldier from the enemy army, they capture them and they hold them in a prison cell, don't they?
Right.
And they don't let them out
until
the war's over, right? Why don't they just take away their guns and let them go? Because they don't want that soldier to go out and rejoin an army where that soldier will produce further hurt.
Right. That's right.
When a thought comes, we don't want to let it out.
Right.
And people that take thoughts, and negative thoughts, they take demonic thoughts, and they speak them out, they are breathing life into that thought.
Right.
And they're letting it go out where it can now hurt them.
Right.
When a thought comes to you, in your head, cast it down, okay, and then let it die right there.
Yes. Amen.
But when people say, Jesus said, take no thought saying,
yeah.
Right? What shall we do? How will we be clothed? How will our needs? We're not going to make it. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to die early. This thing is bad. It's awful, awful. Oh, my goodness. I hear people say it all the time. I hear people all the time saying, Pastor Tim, I'm scared of this. I'm scared of this thing. I said, right there, you've just handcuffed the power of God. Because you're saying the wrong thing. Because you took that thought of fear and you now turned it into a sentence and you spoke it and you just released the enemy soldier with his gun, with his ammunition, right back into the lines where he can now start shooting at you again. You say, I cast it down, I take it captive, and you leave it right there. You let that thought die unborn.
Amen.
Come on, yes. I'm helping you here. But notice what it said in verse 5. It said that thoughts try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Thoughts come against you to exalt themselves over God's truth. That's why he told us in Philippians 4:8 that whatever things are true, think on those things. Yeah. Listen, the thoughts that are tormenting you aren't even true. A lie is trying to get you depressed. A lie is trying to get you worried. It's the plan of the enemy. It is demonic. It is satanic in origin. People say, oh my goodness, the pastor just called me satanic. No, I'm saying that we all have thoughts that rip through our brain that are demonic in origin.
Yes, that's right.
And when you speak out that worry, you just breathe life right into the enemy's plans. Oh my goodness. I hear people all the time saying, this is so hard. Stop it. It's so hard. We're not denying. Listen, we go through stuff all the time. You know, people think that I have a life that is without trial. And I'm not going to try to compare my trials to your trials. Okay? But listen, it's not hard.
Yeah, right. Come on.
That's a lie to say that life is hard. Why? What does the truth say? What did Jesus say? He said, those that come to me, he said, what did he say? He said, take my yoke upon me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy.
That's right. Yes.
That's how I confess what life is. It's light and easy.
Yes, that's right. Light and easy.
So, well, Pastor Tim, you never face trials in hard times? Well, that's what the world calls them. Sorry if I don't call them that.
Right. Good.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not going to say, this is so hard. I'm so sad. I'm so depressed all the time. You're breathing life into the wrong thing. When that comes against you, you're going to have to say, no, 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 no. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy.
Amen. Amen. Good.
Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But notice the thoughts try to exalt themselves over the knowledge of God.
Right.
Yeah. So those things that you're facing aren't necessarily true. Now, they're not true at all. Go back to Philippians chapter 8, and let's finish right here. Yeah. So how do you handle them? Cast them down. How do you do that? With your words.
Yes.
When a thought comes through your head, you know, you better be ready to discern whether it's friend or foe.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know whether a thought's a good thought or a bad thought? Just ask yourself, do I want to live that thought?
Yeah, right.
Do I want to live not having enough? Do I want to live in pain and sickness and disease? Do I want to live out a short life and die early? Do I want to live that out? Do I want to experience the thoughts in my head? If you don't want to experience those thoughts, if they don't create peace, then you better cast them down.
Right.
And the more and more that I know the devil's a liar, the more easy it is to handle those thoughts. And it actually produces joy. I say, well, wait a minute. If he's telling me that, that's a lie, well, then the truth must be just the opposite.
That's good.
Right? Yeah. When he tells me, my kids are going to die, my wife's going to die, going to lose my church, going to lose my life. I mean, he's just out trying to kill everybody. You're going to die. Your wife's going to die. Your kid's going to die. Your church is going to die. He just out, well, yeah, that's what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He's always talking to you about taking your home away, taking your spouse away. The devil's always talking to you about taking something away from you that you enjoy, that God blessed you with. God doesn't speak that way. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. God wants to talk about adding to you and increase you. The mandate on man's creation was multiply, produce, increase, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. God wants you to fill up, right? Amen. Praise God. Yeah, God doesn't talk to you in terms of subtraction. Yeah. But real quickly, look at verse 8. Down there in the middle of the verse, it says, and whatsoever things are of a good report. Think on them. Think on the good report.
That's right.
Have you ever dealt with this before? I mentioned it earlier in this message. Have you ever got thinking about pleasant thoughts and the devil will try to come in like, don't you dare think that way because it just might not happen. You know, you get thinking about, I look forward to my kids being grown. And I look forward to being a grandfather and taking my grandkids hunting and, you know, and having memories and Christmases with kids and lots of food and, you know, a big living room. And, you know, you get thinking that way. And the devil comes in, it's like, no, you better not think that way because you'll be disappointed if it doesn't happen. Have you ever been dealt with that way? Come on. Come on, be real. Like all of a sudden you start to see how good the promises of God are. Yeah. Lest you dash your foot against a stone, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. You know, the Bible talks about just read the promises of God. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You shall not wither. You shall bring forth much fruit. Everything you do shall prosper. I mean, all the blessings of God, right? You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be above, not beneath. I will open up my good treasure unto you, pour out rain upon your land in its season. I will make thee plenteous in goods. And all the things that the Word of God starts generating such hope in a future that the Bible promises us, and we start to think, you know, my goodness, it's going to be good, it's going to get better, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter under the perfect day, you know, right? The Bible says if a man loves life and wants to see good days, let him refrain his lips from evil, his tongue, that he speaks no guile, right? 1 Peter 3:10, amen. So God wants to see many good, healthy, long days. I get thinking, I'm just looking forward to someday being a patriarch and being near 90 years old and still being strong and healthy and having that wisdom. And the devil will come in instantly and say, but what if you don't make it to 90? But what if you don't make it? What if you never have grandkids? What if you never have this? What if that really, you know, don't think that high because you might be disappointed with, you know, if it doesn't show up. And don't tell anybody else that you're believing for that, because when it doesn't happen, it'll just make you look like a failure and it'll make God look like a failure. Has anyone else ever been there? Where the thing that you're going through, almost the devil will tell you, oh, look what your faith, you're sure being a real good testimony to everyone. You're one of the leaders in the church. And you're going through an issue. Well, I would just want to handle this right now and tell you how to deal with this. The Bible says, whatsoever things are a good report, think on them. That's why I call this message, how good is your thinking? How good can you imagine it? Can you imagine yourself being strong in an old age? Can you see yourself with, you know, whether it's grandchildren or, you know, increase or whatever it is that God just inspires on the inside of you? The Bible is telling us today that you have full right and full blessing to think as good as you want to.
Yes.
Can you see yourself in a healthy marriage, a strong marriage? Can you see yourself, you know, whatever it is that you enjoy? Can you see yourself with more than enough and with a family around you? Can you see yourself? Is that a good report? Yeah. God says, think good, think big, think high. Think as good as you want. Nothing wrong with thinking about a bigger home.
Right.
Nothing wrong about thinking about a better job. Yeah. Nothing wrong about thinking about better pay. Right. Nothing wrong about thinking better for your spouse and your kids. Whatever. Nothing wrong thinking about a better school for your children. Nothing wrong about thinking big, you know, whether it's in terms of property or a business development. I'll tell you what, think as good as you want to. God will never call you selfish for thinking big.
Right. Amen.
You getting a hold of this? What does Ephesians 3:20 say? Right? Yeah. God will do what? Yeah. He will do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. God does above what you ask or think. God does more than you can imagine.
That's right.
And I can imagine some pretty big things. I can see this church building paid off. I can see the next building. I can see that one paid for. I can see my home paid for. I can see your homes paid for. You know what I mean? And if I can imagine it, and if it's a good report, I can think on it. And I can know that anything less than that is a lie.
That's right. Amen.
And lies aren't going to trouble me anymore.
Amen.
Did you get some help out of this? So what are you going to do when the thoughts of depression come against you? You're going to cast down, keep captive. You're going to release your faith. With your words, you cast that thought down. When a thought comes against you to cheat on your spouse, you had better be ready. You had better be ready with words out of your mouth.
Right.
No, I don't do that.
That's right.
I don't take that thought. That's not godly.
That's right.
It's not my thought, devil. Yeah. You better be ready. What are you going to do when an unexpected bill or an expense or repairs on your home or whatever it is that just comes up out of the blue? You better be ready with a word. My God shall supply all my needs. I thank you, Lord. Having a new roof is a need. I thank you. Therefore, we got the money. Thank you, Lord. Having a car is a need. I need it to get back and forth to work. I thank you. I have it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's how you handle your thought life. Stop letting the storm in your brain toss you in this life. You don't live out of here. You live out of here. And you better first live out of here. You better get peace before you try to get out of your troubles.
Amen.
You know, you need the tool first. Glory to God. Let's pray.